Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of the God who claims us and reclaims us, the God who seeks us in whatever lostness we may find ourselves and who offers us each extravagant welcome as we return home. We hope that by our worship this day, each one of us might go forth from worship with a sense of home, and also go forth into a world to help others know that extravagant welcome and love as well. We extend a particular welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us this day by live streamed or recorded worship. We give thanks that even in this time of being separate, that the Holy Spirit is working within our congregation to keep us bound together in spirit and also in mind. So let us remember our siblings in Christ this day, who together make up the body of Christ with us. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. As usual, we want to thank our worship leaders for sharing their gifts of music and song and word this day, and also their technical expertise to make this worship happen. So we give our thanks today to Sarah Lynn Keller and Wayne Zaretter, to Gail Martin, and of course to Tom Foster and Beth Canterbury. And as always, we extend our particular thanks to Randy Brewer and to Hank Zaretter and all the staff at Pegasus Natick for their technical expertise that makes this worship possible. We will, during our worship time, as usual, have a time of lighting a candle. And so as I light the Christ candle, we invite you to have a candle as well that you can light along with us. And later in our worship, we'll have a time of ritual action as we have during all of these Sundays in Lent that will involve a piece of sea glass and also this time, like last week, a bowl or some other container that can also have some sand in it. So we'll be using those things for the ritual action later in the worship, just before our time of community prayer. And speaking of our time of community prayer, we have a time when we lift up prayer celebrations and concerns during this worship. And so many of those have come to us already and are listed in the bulletin, but we also invite you now to email those to us at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. That's prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And if you do that now and sometime before the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our morning's prayer. So we invite you to do that. And as always, we have a time of post-worship fellowship following this worship by Zoom video conferencing, the link for which you'll find in the bulletin or on the church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org, or you also might find it on in the weekly link emailing that would have gone out on Friday or early this morning. We look forward to having you with us in fellowship. Sarah Lynn, I know that you have some announcements to share this morning as well.
I do. Thank you. Good morning. So I just want to give an update. We are still gathering every Wednesday at 7 p.m. with a small group, Soul Sabbatical, talking about the book by Diana Butler Bass called Grounded. And we're having wonderful conversations. If you're interested in reading the book or having study materials sent to you, just let me know. And I'd be happy to provide those study materials for anyone in the congregation. We also invite you to join us for our midweek connection and prayer. That happens every Wednesday at noon. It's a short time of being together to share prayer requests and concerns and to pray together. And then also just a reminder that Jonathan is always available for pastoral care concerns throughout the week. And if you do need to contact him, you can do that by his email at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org or by his cell phone. And then I want to invite everyone to save the date. Next Sunday at noon, there will be a gathering to receive a report on the feasibility study that was done on a possible capital campaign. And there will be plenty of time to ask questions and for discussion afterwards. So we invite you all to come and learn more about what that feasibility study showed us. It was a very promising report. And I think it's an exciting time in our church. That will follow a shortened post-worship fellowship on that same link. So you can join us either at 11:30 for the post-worship fellowship or hop on just at noon if you're just interested in hearing the feasibility study report. So we hope that you will all join us next Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn. People of God, we serve the Lord of light, the one who told us that we too are the light of the world and who called us to be that love light in the world, shining forth brightly. No sin or brokenness can take this identity as God's children of light or our holy luminous vocation from us. May this candle lighting then represent our acceptance of this identity and our intention to respond with light-filled purpose. Please join me in lighting a candle together. Beloved, at times we may feel lost, or at least lost to our true selves. And yet one there is whose spirit meets us in all of our desert times. One who promised not only to be there waiting for us, but like the beachcomber who knows that shining treasure is there to be found. One who scours the sand, everything that buries or hides us from the surface, from light, and from life, to bring us to our proper place once more.
Prolonged times of difficulty can impede our ability to shake off feelings of isolation or desolation, and the ability to remain alive to the world and others. We need inspiration to move us, to awaken us from the hibernation of our souls, so we might re-enter the place of life's rich dwelling. To restore our intellect, creativity, imagination, and to prompt our return to a home place where we are welcomed back from our wilderness wanderings, and where we may seek out others who are desperate for homecoming, so all of us might know that, though broken perhaps, we are holy vessels capable of holding and offering the refreshing waters of God's love.
Good morning. For our Lenten music, I'll sing it through one time, and then I invite you to join me on the second time through.
Vessels, holy and whole. Please join me as we say together our opening prayer. Seeking God with relentless persistence, you look until you find where we are in our lostness. In unconditional love, you move to save us from the aimlessness and shadows into which we have wandered, following our own will and way. You show us that nothing can deter you from your intention to bring us back to you and to enfold us in the safety of your love. How great and good you are. As your sought out and rescued people, we rejoice in praising and worship you this day, seeking to be led well in meeting the lostness of others through a reflection of your love. Amen.
I invite us now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, perhaps placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our peace, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
People of God, we are indeed a blessed people, a people who have many gifts to share with the world, and God has placed them in our hands to do just that. And so we have lots of ways that we do that, by organizing ourselves in groups to do particular things, by joining in efforts with other people to be God's mission in the world. and also in our daily lives as we work and play and attend schools. So many ways that we can use those gifts. And we have money gifts, of course, as well, resources that are in our hands to steward well. And so we invite you to continue to be generous with the ways that you are blessing the world through your money gifts in many, many different ways beyond this congregation and through this congregation. This congregation's mission and ministry is an important and unique mission in the Natick area and beyond. And so we invite you to continue to be generous with money gifts because, frankly, those help us in one way to continue to be the people of God called to reach out with all of the gifts possible to advance God's mission of love in the world. Let us do that. There are many different ways to make money gifts, of course. A check will be gladly received that can be mailed directly to the church office, or you may choose to make an online contribution at www.firstchurchnatick.org. We are a people who are blessed, and we have the opportunity to join God in the search and rescue of those who feel themselves to be lost. Knowing that we too have been found, may we give of ourselves and give of our substance so that many may find their way to a beloved home place. Let us pray. Gracious God, your relentless search for your own extends across the earth. As recipients of your grace, we too are called to assist you in seeking out those who are lost and those who are crying out for you. Receive this offering as our desire to share in your seeking and saving work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, and then 8 through 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." Even so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Here ends the reading.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, you have probably noticed that I am obsessed with treasure as a spiritual metaphor. Not long ago, I referenced Stevenson's Treasure Island that speaks of a map that sends its characters on their adventures. Three crosses of red ink highlighted by the words "bulk of treasure here." Well, you may find it odd to hear a grown man talk about having pirate-like fantasies, but I have strongly been considering treasure hunting as a way to get out of the house and still be COVID safe. Because over the past couple of decades, actually, treasure hunting has been getting much, much easier. You don't need to sail thousands of miles away to seek treasures when just a couple of hundred yards from Natick Center and the Common is treasure waiting to be found. I'm sure at least some of you know what I'm talking about, or at least where I might be going. For over 20 years now, people have been burying treasure and enticing others to go out and try to find it. These hiders and seekers are playing a game that has grown wildly since it first began in May of 2000, geocaching, treasure hunting that uses global positioning system, GPS technology, or even more simply now, a cell phone app to locate hidden containers called caches. Participants visit websites or use phone apps listing geocache coordinates for caches, and after deciding which ones to seek out, they plot a route that will hopefully take them to that treasure. That treasure, typically a waterproof box containing a logbook, a pen or a pencil, assorted bits and pieces, often relating to the area, and sometimes more or less valuable items. The geocacher signs this log, and their established code name gets printed in there, and they date it, and that proves that they were there. They found the cache. And then the cache is returned exactly where the person found it, or at least it's supposed to be. Larger caches, such as plastic storage containers or reappropriated ammo boxes, can also contain items for trading, oftentimes toys or trinkets, usually things that are more sentimental than financially valuable. However, geocaches can vary in size, in difficulty, and also in location. Geocaches may also be much more complex, involving lengthy searches and perhaps extensive travel, and involve specialist equipment like kayaks or scuba equipment. So what we're talking about here is true high-tech treasure hunting. No one knows exactly how many people have taken up geocaching as a pastime, but I can tell you that by the end of the year 2000, there were 75 caches hidden. Today, there are more than 3 million. In 191 countries on all seven continents, with nearly 20 different variations, and dozens of those caches are actually located within a mile radius of Natick Center. Well, I don't know just what Jesus would say about people perhaps choosing to forgo Sabbath worship for Sunday morning geocaching trips, but I do expect that he would have appreciated the geocacher's persistence in trying to locate that treasure. After all, in the scripture that we heard earlier, that Gail read, we heard Jesus praise another undaunted searcher after treasure. The context of Luke 15 is absolutely essential. What do we hear there? We hear that there is grumbling, among religious elites because Jesus is associating with undesirables. So Jesus, in response, tells three parables. The parable of the lost sheep, which we talked about last week, the parable of the lost coin, and of course, the parable of the lost son. And by telling these, Jesus shows what he is doing and what God is up to, ministering to the lost by putting us in God's position. For example, a woman has lost one of 10 silver coins, a drachma, a laborer's day wage. Now, if you've only got 10 coins to start, losing one of those is serious business. But there may be more at stake here. It turns out that many biblical scholars believe that the parable is describing a woman who is wearing silver coins as part of a headdress. And even today, in some parts of the Middle East, such a coin-adorned headdress is either a dowry or a gift presented by the bridegroom's family to the bride. This is her personal property, indicating her financial status and serving as a kind of safety net in time of need. So this one coin is not only valuable, but meaningful to her. This is why she is so urgent to find it. Now, geocachers, well, they're in it for the challenge, of course. But we've got to imagine this. We've got to imagine that as the woman in this story, our motivation is to retrieve something that is already precious to us. So what do? You tear the place apart to try to find that treasure. You light a lamp and you sweep every inch of the floor in order to see if it will turn up. And when you do find it, well, you're so overjoyed that you call in the neighbors and you have a party to celebrate. This is a dramatic image, I think. God as a woman would have shocked the Pharisees of his day. More shocking is the idea that we are such a treasure to God, and that God will go to any lengths to seek us out when we are lost. Now, we may wonder why the woman didn't keep better track of her money, because we've got all kinds of precautions that we use to keep our things safe, especially if she had so little. Why didn't she take these precautions like we did? Hidden money belts to keep our money safe, backup systems for our computers, fireproof safes to keep our documents and our valuables under lock and key, invisible fences for our pets, GPS units or Google Maps or to help us, well, to help us keep track of ourselves. Even so, we know what it means to lose things. It happens all the time. I put down my keys and then later I go to head out to run some kind of errand and I can't find them. I can never seem to find the remote when I am looking for it. Or things like the keyless entry device on my key ring breaks and then I don't have what? I don't have that chirping and those flashing of lights in order to remind me where I put my car. And even the miracle of GPS or Google Maps has diminished in my mind and probably yours too, if you've had the experience as I've had, especially when we lived in Vermont, of blindly following Google Maps down streets that, well, that diminished into muddy footpaths and roads that led into deep-laden snowmobile trails. Those fancy gadgets are only as accurate as the information that's been supplied to them. Now, I want you to take a moment. I want you to take a moment and recall a time when you lost something that you valued, maybe through theft or misplacement, or perhaps by accident. When I do this, I am thinking of a time several years ago when I had my wallet stolen at church, no less. My office was away from all the other offices. There was a coat rack right outside of it. I hung my coat on it just as I normally would have. And at the end of the day, I went to put my coat on and I did, and I felt for my wallet and it was gone. It was gone. And I remember that feeling, that nasty feeling deep down in my gut, just like it was yesterday. Money and credit cards and medical cards and other things, all of those taken from me. I never got it back. And the blurry photo from the ATM up the street that showed an indistinct figure attempting to use my bank card didn't help us either locate the thief or settle down the disquieting feelings that were aroused in me because of losing that wallet. Your own story of loss, it is your own. And you have your own feelings that are associated with it, I'm sure. But I am willing to bet that it is hard to remember those losses, whatever they are. Painful, usually, even if we're not talking about, well, those significant losses, like the loss of a person who we love. Because whenever we lose something that is meaningful to us, there is always grief that's involved on some level. And so we think of this, and now I have us shift back to that parable and recall the woman. Recall the woman. Such grief over this valued possession that she has lost is what moves her to go into such a frantic search. Jesus wanted us to know that God grieves over the lost as well. As in the parable of the prodigal son, we're God's own children. That is why God searches for us. And consider again, if you've ever lost things or had them taken from you, and then you've gotten them back, consider what that feels like as well. Such a good feeling to have things restored. So I'm wondering, as I ponder this parable, are we ready? Are we really ready to accept that we are that precious to God? Are we really ready to do that? to accept a God who seeks us out even before we turn to God. After all, these days, we often emphasize finding ourselves. We see ourselves as the seekers, not God. Well, personally, I welcome this kind of God. I welcome this kind of God because I know that in some way or another, I need to be found. I need to be found. Feeling uncertain about my future, fearing the effects of the economy and what that might mean for my family, grappling with life-threatening illness, facing these unalterable changes that are going on as I age, this and so much more can make me feel lost. Even if I had a kind of, I don't know, spiritual GPS, it wouldn't help me with this kind of lostness. Like its high-tech counterpart, it might help me to figure out where I am when I am lost, but I would still be stuck in the middle of nowhere. And are we willing to live such a prodigal love ourselves? That third story that Jesus told about the son, we call it the parable of the prodigal son. Well, the son was prodigal. He was extravagant to a degree that was beyond recklessness. And yet, all three of these parables present a God as one who seeks out the lost, who is so overjoyed when the lost one is found that God does what? God throws a party. This is a prodigally loving God. A prodigally loving God. I praise this congregation for organizing itself, for devoting staff time, for committing dollars and joining efforts with other missionally aligned groups so that those who feel lost in different ways might again know what it's like to be found. These are ways that you have reflected and made real God's love in the world. I commend you for discerning together what our response will be when people who feel themselves to be lost sometimes, and you've heard that churches like ours, churches that are open-handed and open-minded and open-hearted, are as compassionate as Jesus was when they arrive at the door. And I will tell you this, that as long as I am with you, as long as I am with you, this is why I am going to continue to urge you to keep asking whether such lost ones will always arrive and find us as advertised. Truly welcoming, really ready to make a place at the table for everyone alongside us. And whether our own prodigal love might prompt us to go even further, recognizing people who feel themselves to be lost and finding creative ways to do what? Well, to go seek them out. To go seek them out. The good news is God doesn't just find us. God joins us. God joins us. God's sweeping for us, like this woman in the story, willing to kick up some dust and pick us up out of the dirt and brush us off and restore us to our proper place with God. Let us praise this God who loves us so extravagantly and who graciously makes the first move to bring us home. And remembering the many souls around us and among us who feel lost, may we also remember our call to persistently seek them through intentional acts of justice and deeds of loving kindness. May our loving God make it so. Amen. We come to a time now of being in prayer together as a community. One of the ways that we keep our focus upon the lostness in ourselves, maybe, or the recognition that some in people in the world feel lost, feel themselves to be lost. One of the ways we do this is to be in prayer together and to bring to awareness and bring before ourselves and before one another and before our God, those places where foundness is a quality that we wish for or that we know others do. So I invite you into this time of prayer now. I invite you to be in prayer around specific celebrations or concerns that you might have. There are many that are listed in our church's bulletin, so we invite you to take a look at those. Now I also turn to Wings of Redder to let us know about other joys or concerns that have been lifted up during this worship.
Good morning. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the Zink family, friends of Mindy and Peter Hogue, for strength, courage, and hope. Tom Zink has been diagnosed with cancer, with a large cancerous tumor. May our prayers be felt today and in future days. Prayers go out to Sarah Lynn's cousin, Tim. Prayers for a graceful and peaceful passing for the wife of a co-worker of Chris Hanna's fiance, who is in the final stage of her illness. Thoughts and prayers go out to Gwen Ramage's cousin, Judy, in upstate New York, who is having breast cancer surgery on March 17th, and who is taking care of her husband, who has been recently diagnosed with Parkinson's. Lastly, prayers of healing go out to Audra Mackey, who is recovering from surgery. May our prayers surround her with the strength, comfort, and the healing power of the Holy Spirit.
Last week, we buried a piece of sea glass under our sand. If you weren't with us last week to do that, you can do it now. Just push your piece of sea glass down into the sand until it is hidden from view. I invite you now to look at the surface of your sand. Each individual grain surrounded by hundreds, no, thousands of other grains of sand. They're so small that it's easy to push them around. It's a wonderful medium to bury things in. And so now brush away the top layer, push it away, and then another layer until you begin to see your sea glass. There. Notice how when you first see it, you can't know how large the broken piece is. It might be just a sliver, or it might be a much larger piece. You can think back to a time when you were walking on a beach and saw a piece of a broken shell or a piece of glass partially hidden under the sand, partially buried, and you didn't know the extent of the hidden part. So continue to dig and see if you can find your piece. Continue to brush it until it's fully exposed. There's mine. We often try to bury our broken bits and the pain in our life, dulling our lives and allowing hope for the future to fade. It seems easier to push our pain under the surface where no one, including ourselves, are exposed to it. Prolonged times of difficulty like the pandemic can impede our ability to be creative. It is like all of those many grains of sand giving the illusion that it will be tough digging. This is our call to seek the divine healer, to reach out to touch the power we know can restore our intellect and imagination, so we might emerge ready to revision and re-engage with the world, seeking and seeing solutions. This metaphor of our brokenness being brought to the surface, to the light, to be healed, can be a very powerful image. What collective biases could we bring to the surface so that they might be part of the revisioning of our community's future? What pain have you left buried too long? What hurts are in need of healing? Take a moment to think on this, and then when you are ready, pick up your broken piece and hold it in your hand and breathe deeply, inviting that spirit to live and breathe and move in you in a special way, to strengthen you and give you courage to examine those pains in your life that need healing. Place your found piece of sea glass back on the surface of your sand and keep it in a place that you can see regularly during the week so that you might continue to think on these things.
We carry these awarenesses into our worship as we carry those celebrations and concerns that we have in our hearts and that we've lifted up this day. Let us pray together. Healer of every ill, we know that you are at work among us, and we give thanks that you are showing us the way to recovery in every circumstance. You remind us that we don't have to shoulder everything alone. This day we give you thanks that all we must do is orient ourselves toward your divine spirit to accompany us, to touch us, to inspire and heal us. We pray especially for all of those who feel opportunity and possibility is cut off to them, whose spirit is continually damaged and dampened by those who fail to see value in their contributions, who steal away rights to the fullness of expression. We give thanks for communities, for churches, other nonprofits and businesses that are supporting the flourishing of all voices, especially those that historically have been silenced. We give thanks for the courage of innovators who use their resources and creativity to make more good in the world, making this a priority over profit. And we ask for courage and encouragement to reevaluate how we as a church can join this effort now and into the future of seeking out and finding all those ones who are feeling lost among us. We pray these things in the name of the restorer and healer, Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Vessels, holy and whole, broken, needing the one, open, body and soul, healer come, healer come. Beloved, arise now from worship. Arise now from worship with confidence that we can share in Jesus' search for the lost, empowered to seek out and reach for the healing solutions that will come for our neighbors and our communities and our world, recovering our depth of love for all and our joy of living in the world. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.
What grace is mine that he who dwells in endless light called through the night to find my distant soul and from his scars poured mercy that would plead for me that I might live and in his name be known. So I will go wherever he is calling me. I lose my life to find my life in him. I give my dies. I bow my heart, take up my cross, and follow him. What grace is mine to know his breath alive in me? Beneath his wings, my wakened soul may soar. All fear can flee. For death's dark night is overcome. My Savior lives and reigns forevermore. So I will go wherever he is calling me. I lose my life to find my life in him. I give my dies. I bow my heart, take up my cross, and follow him. I bow my heart, take up my cross, and follow him.